Greater Santon and beyond. Get ready for the Santon Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond, this is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and also available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leipner, and this is edition 141. It's week 49 of 2023, and key December, boss. Key December. December's here. December is here. If you'd like to send through your thoughts, your questions, your comments, your feedback, you can do so using the email address editor@santontimes.co.za. You can connect on social media at Santon Times or visit the website santontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not anywhere else, that's if you're listening live, use the WhatsApp line 0848220938, 0848220938. And a very special welcome to you one last time if you're listening in Johannesburg or in Pretoria, across South Africa, or anywhere else in the world, online or on air. I'm happy to report that all is well in Santonland. And when I say one last time for 2023. And then we maketh our way into the holiday and reconnect again next year. But I'm joined once more by my man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo. You're looking very festive, Vincenzo. You ready for your break? Certainly looks like it. Well, one last time, as mentioned, and we've got a great hour lined up for you. Just something easy, maybe not something too heavy. It's that time of the year where you just want to switch off and start making your way into happier and easier days. I think we all have had such a hectic year. I mean, it's just been crazy. But we've pulled through, and we've made it to a well-deserved December. Coming up on this week's show, she'll be performing at one major event this December in Gauteng. It's deemed to be the Coachella of Africa, and I get a chance to catch up with this fabulous musical talent. Then, are you heading out onto the open road for your December break? Well, best you check your tires. I sit down with a man who has loads of experience with high-performance tires, and we're going to make sure all is checked before you go on holiday, so stay tuned for that. And finally, one of my favorite gentlemen behind the piano keys is back with something to get you into the Christmas spirit. This and more coming up in the next 60 minutes. It is the festive season. It is time for that December break. So let's get the hour started with a bit of Christmas by Bon Jovi. It's a new track. And you're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8.
Promote your brand. Advertise your business.
Our audience could be your next client. Contact the Santon Times today. The best of Santon and beyond.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. And as we get this show going for this week, I'm joined by Jamie Lee Sexton. She's a talented artist who's going to be performing at the Hey Neighbor Festival, which is happening from the 8th to the 10th of December 2023 alongside Swedish House Mafia and her. And she's got over six hits, including two number one chart toppers. Jamie Lee has been making waves in the industry for quite some time. And this year she's also received a music video award, but also has secured three Basadi Music Awards, those are nominations, and two music video nominations. And her track Run, Run, Run topped South African radio stations, and her collaboration with Grammy Award winner CT in the Afrobeat genre gained significant traction in Africa. And I'm thrilled to be joined by Jamie on the line. It's good to have you on the Santon Times Hour.
Thank you so much for having me. That actually sounded like... It made me tired just thinking of it and just hearing it. But thank you for the introduction. Thank you.
No problem at all. I mean, I'm glad you've been so busy. I mean, I suppose it's been a couple of years of hurry up and wait, and now it feels like the floodgates have opened again.
100%. You know, when we started this year, my team and I, we really, really set out. I mean, obviously, you know, in the beginning of the year, everyone's like, new year, new me. And all of that stuff. But we really, really set out to have certain goals. And I think that we've achieved that and beyond. I'm more than blessed. I'm so lucky. And more than that, I'm so grateful to everybody out there that is consuming the content that I'm creating and the music videos, which are not such a huge thing anymore, but people are really still enjoying what I'm putting out there. So, you know, I mean, even any kind of interview, any kind of article, I don't take for granted. And am appreciative for what this year has given us as a team.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because generally people see the creative industry or the creative space as, you know, people or teams or bands who sort of wake up one morning and they kind of go however the inspiration takes them, and they might get lucky and they might come up with a good track and they might get a nomination or they might get an award, but it doesn't seem as structured as sort of big businesses. But by the sound of things and the way you've just described it, you kind of treat it very much like a business, where you sit down, you put together a bit of a plan, a strategy. It's not just about sort of however the wind blows and however the vibe takes us. There is a bit of thought and a bit of structure behind it.
Absolutely. So for me, the way that people in the creative industry run their passion and their calling, it does differ, you know, from individual to individual. I think that the sort of fly by night, get lucky, get a hit, write a song, right place, right time, that really exists, and I think that it's amazing that it does. I think it's fantastic, because there are just those moments that catch. But if you want to turn it into a career, now we're talking, that's a different ballgame. Mm. Because I think what a lot of artists never really thought of before, and they didn't really understand it, is that this is a business. The music industry is a business. The acting world, content creation, streaming platforms, all of that is run by businesses and created by business people. So as artists, if we don't get involved in that mindset, I think most of the time you'll just get left behind. But I've been fortunate enough to have such a great team in terms of social media, organizing, my manager, who is fantastic. She basically manages my life. So I'm really lucky in that sense. But, you know, I also educated myself, and I do continue to educate myself, so that I'm not one of those stories, you know, where you get messed over by contracts and you have to read the fine print. But the thing is, I also think that those things exist in all industries. I don't think that the arts should be left out. You know, the fine print. You should read the fine print when you go to Woolies. Like, it's just logical. Mm. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, listen, without sounding like I'm backtracking here, but I suppose it's also a fine balance between the two. Because on the one hand, you do want that structure, and you do want to have that sort of very strategic planning and like you said, run it like a business. But at the same time, you don't want to lose that authenticity and that sort of spur of the moment inspiration. Because I think in some instances as well, the business has moved so far the other way as well, where people are sort of relying on auto-tune. And, you know, if I've got enough money, I'm going to go get some Swedish composer to write me a number one hit. And it's going to be, you know, to the T, worked out structurally, scientifically, that it's going to work out. It's going to be formula. And then you end up being sort of on the complete other side of the spectrum, where people go, I don't know if I like this this artist, because everything that they turn out just feels like it's been, like, you know, pushed through a sausage factory.
So you've got a great point there. So the balance that I have and what we decided as a team is that I am the creative in the team. I understand the business. I understand the concept. I understand where it's coming from. But I am creative. So my choices and where I come from as an artist has to be spontaneity. There has to be the creative process. I mean, like, before I write any album, I go on like a writing journey. So I'll go away for a few days. I turn the studio into something completely different. I put art all over the wall. I went into Magaliesberg. I went into the mountains on horseback. I go up into the mountains for like a good few hours. So that creative process will never change for me. It's just that I've made myself aware of the business, and I've chosen the right people to surround me in order for them to manage my art in the correct way.
Well, it's quite fascinating. It's also quite interesting where you get the inspiration from. Horseback in the Magaliesberg. I don't know if that would have been my first selection, but you know what? You never know. Number one hits have been written in all kinds of interesting places and all kinds of interesting scenarios. Yeah. So yeah, we're chatting to Jamie Lee Sexton. She's going to be joining me again right after this. We're going to be talking about her performance at Hey Neighbor, which is a big festival coming up in a couple of days' time. And we'll be right back after this.
The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Santon Times Hour. Online, on air,
anywhere, anytime.
This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. I'm in conversation with Jamie Lee Sexton. You might know her for some of the hits. You've heard her perform on radio. Well, not her herself. She recorded them and then they played them out. If you want to see her live, she's going to be at the Hey Neighbor Festival. And Jamie, how did this come about, this Hey Neighbor gig that you got? I mean, this is quite a big stage to be on.
You know, the universe works in strange ways. I know that people always say that, but it happened in such an organic way. And when we got the news, you'll notice that I speak a lot in we's. Reason being, because, you know, all of this stuff really does take a team, and it's not just my vision. You know, it's such a collaboration of different visions. I mean, even my band, they are an integral part of my sound on stages like that. It happened so organically and so beautifully. And when we got the news, it was such a huge celebration, because this is like the Coachella of Africa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like Kendrick Lamar, Chainsmokers, Khaled, Her, Swedish House Mafia. I mean, it's like, it's absolutely mind-blowing. But I'm just so ecstatic, and rehearsals have already started. And my main objective is I want to give the most sincere, most authentic performance that's just going to blow your head off.
Well, I mean, it's happening from the 8th to the 10th of December. And for those people who haven't heard of it, I had a chance to go to a media day a couple of weeks ago where they gave us a bit of a breakdown. But it's going to be a massive thing. I think they're expecting 50,000 people attending this. It's on a farm on the other side of Pretoria. There's a tented camp. There's other accommodation. I mean, it's an entire theme park that they're actually setting up there for 3 days. And you can choose to kind of come for a day. You can choose to come for the weekend. You might just choose to come for an artist. But talking about that, I think that's quite an interesting experience to have to go through as an artist. And maybe you can give me some insights here. But you often have people who say, cool, I'm coming for XYZ artists. But those artists are not all performing back to back, you know, at the time that you want. You're going to have to experience artists and probably listen to artists that you probably never have listened to or probably have never heard of before. And how do you as an artist manage an audience like that? Is it a question of kind of just saying, well, listen, I'm going to perform if you like it or not. And if you like my songs, great. And if you don't, that's fine. Is it an opportunity to win new fans? Is it an opportunity to kind of having to deal with a difficult crowd if it's not the crowd that's necessarily coming to see you?
Great question. And crowd interaction and live gigs have always been my most favorite thing, because that's where I started at university. I used to play gigs for the barman only. That was my crowd. There was no one there, just the barman and I. And that's really how I started on my acoustic guitar. So for me, you know, that's really where the magic, and that's very, very special. And that's really important for me, because that's where I really connect. If people are not familiar with me, and if they're not familiar with the music, it actually excites me more, because it gives me, for me, it's an opportunity to connect with those people. And what I find with live performances and festivals like that, you can tell who knows you and who's singing along with you, and they have a friend next to them that's not too sure. And that kind of energy, that's when my lyrics and my life experiences that are happening on the stage through music, that is when I can see if it really, really does touch people. And in between my songs, I talk to my audience and I connect with them, because they are my favorite people in the world. They are the people that DM me. They are the people from all over the world, Brazil, Japan, Mexico, that tell me about their life stories and how my life stories through music has affected their lives or changed their lives or helped them through something. So those festivals are really, really, to navigate that is work. But I love that work. I love having people that don't know my music, because that is where you're tested as a true artist. And I think that that's actually the most fun. So to navigate that is hard, but it's the most... it's the most gratifying, I think.
Yeah. And I suppose it's also sort of an engagement of acceptance as well, where you kind of go, look, this is not going to be for everybody. I have a certain audience that enjoys what I do, and there's going to be another audience that only wants to listen to hip-hop, or they only want to listen to soul or whatever. And all you have to do is capture that section that appeals to you, or that you appeal to, and you've got a successful career. You've got a fan base you can work with.
Exactly. And also, you know, I think what music festivals – why it's so important to have music festivals is that I've played Opie Kopie a few times. I've played the main stage. I've played different stages in Opie Kopie, and I love all the stages, all alike. But what I found, not only as an artist, but like as an audience member, when you're at a music festival, it's like you were saying, you know, you'll stumble on a stage, you'll walk past something and you'll go, I don't know if I've ever listened to that because it's not really in my genre, but let me have a look. And then you're a fan. Mm. I have so many artists that I had no idea who they were, that I just fell in love with at music festivals. So I think that it's that's why it's such an honor and a privilege for me to always be performing on stages, because you never know who's in the audience. And I've experienced that as an audience member. So I think it's really important. And more than that, it's just a lot of fun.
Well, talk about the fun. I mean, give us a little bit behind the scenes look at these festivals in general. I mean, is it as glamorous and as sexy as a lot of us imagine it to be? I mean, backstage, do you get to meet a lot of the other artists, or does everyone sort of kind of keep to themselves? You kind of warm up your voice, kind of go through the routine, sort of refresh on a couple of things? Or is it really drinks and jacuzzis and, you know, you're halfway through a PlayStation game and then someone says to you, listen, it's time to go sing your song?
So, look, I think that sex, drugs, and rock and roll era, I think that still exists in certain genres. Yeah. So it depends on the genre. I won't name the genres because I love all genres. I've got such an eclectic taste in music. I can't say that I hate any genre of music. But I do think that there is a huge amount of professionalism that has come into music.
Okay.
Huge. You have to be on it. You have to be on time. You have to be switched on. But in saying that, it is always fun backstage because you meet all the artists. And yes, you have a drink together and you do some content. And it really, really is still fun, you know. But what I like about that is that we're having fun and still giving the people what they want.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why they buy the tickets and that's why they come. Well, Jamie, you're talking about new year, new you, and 2024 is literally like a stone throw away. And I feel like we're going to be having this conversation again about the stuff we spoke about 12 months ago. What are your plans for 2024? Have you already sort of pinpointed some things that you want to do? I mean, a lot of it is probably planned, and then you have these kind of festivals that just sort of come about that weren't really on the plan. But what are you looking forward to in the new year?
So 2024, definitely planning new music. I'd like to complete my body of work that I've been working on. So I'm going to complete my album, hopefully by the middle of next year, and release that. And then definitely touring. So touring for me is really, really important. I've got enough material now. I'd like to do, or what we are planning is to do a national tour. Big venues, small venues, little theatres, bars, pubs, whatever. I just want to get on the road. I want to connect with South Africa. And then after that, to definitely look overseas at different festivals, planning different festivals, planning different events. Definitely getting into that market in terms of live shows.
Fantastic. Well, there you have it. Jamie Lee Sexton. You know her for her hits that you've heard on the radio. Maybe you've even got her streaming on your favorite sort of music streaming app on your phone, whichever way you do it. Or maybe you've even bought tickets to Hey Neighbor and you're looking forward to see her live. It's been great chatting to her here on the Sandton Times Hour. And we've come to the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick musical break. Jamie, thank you so much. Jamie Lee, thank you so much for joining me on the Sandton Times Hour. And we're going to be right back with more of the hour after this.
The Sandton Times Hour continues.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Patrizio Buone and Do They Know It's Christmas? Taking us into the second half of the Sandton Times Hour. My name is Alexander Leibner, and if you listen to the show regularly, or if you're listening for the very first time and you don't know how any of this works, well, you would have heard something on the show, you would have picked something up, and you didn't have the time or the energy or the resources to actually write it down or try and jot it down somewhere. Well, don't hesitate to visit the website, sandtontimes.co.za, and go onto the show notes where you'll get all the details of today's show. And if there's something that you heard that sounded interesting, you want to get some more information on it, that information will be on the website and you can pick it up there in your own time during the week or whenever you get a chance to hear the show And yeah, you can pick it up from there. Also, be sure to follow the Santon Times on any of the social media platforms at Santon Times. And of course, you can always use the hashtag Santon Times Hour as you engage. Now, many of us are planning to travel, maybe not overseas, but certainly taking our cars and everything else that we've got and trekking either to the coast or into other foreign lands that are bordering South Africa. And that means getting into your car. And unfortunately, South Africa does have a bit of a reputation for not having the greatest track record when it comes to our roads and our drivers and some of the safety issues that we have. But so many of us often forget the most critical and probably the genesis of safety, which is checking our tires and making sure our tires are 100% because they're the only things that are connecting the rest of the car that probably cost you a small fortune to the road. But here to chat to me about this is Ashley Cooper. He's the Group Tire Program Manager at Porsche South Africa. You might have seen him on social media if you follow him on Instagram on his weekly Tire Tuesday, where he gives you hot tips and interesting advice on all things tires. Ashley, it's good to have you on the Santon Times Hour.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So Ashley, maybe just to kind of lay the groundwork here, give us a bit of background in terms of your experience and your history with working with tires.
Been in tires about 50 years. I started off in New Zealand in the Firestone factory laboratory, analyzing, testing all the raw materials, building tires, testing tires. Came to South Africa, did the same thing. Then I've worked for Michelin and Pirelli, had my own tire shops before joining Porsche 7 years ago.
Unbelievable. Well, I think that's a good summary. And I think there's a lot of experience there that we can tap into when we look at our own tires, especially as we set out on the roads and decide, how and where we go to and do the sort of the usual inspections. And I'm going to throw out a little bit of a herring here before we get into this conversation about who makes the most rubber tires in a year. And you're going to give us that answer at the end of this interview. So if I don't mention this again, please do remind me. But the question is, who makes the most rubber tires in a year? If you do know, send us a WhatsApp or send us a text on social media on your channels. And Ashley's going to give us that answer at the end of the interview. But Ashley, as we get into this, why is it so important to make sure you've got the right kind of tires when you set out?
You see, you've got to remember that tires are the only thing that keep your car on the road. So you've got to make sure that they're in good condition. It's important that you check the condition, the tread. Make sure the tread is not worn down to the legal limit, because the more worn they are, the less road holding you've got, especially in the wet. You've got to make sure that they don't have any damage to the tires. For example, bubbles on the sidewall from our famous potholes. That is now a weak spot and the tire could fail. So always check your tires for damage. Another thing, make sure the tire pressures are correct. Especially if you're traveling, you're carrying a full load, you should increase your tire pressures. And if you're towing a trailer, please check the tire pressures on the trailer. Often they're not used for maybe a couple of times in a year, and therefore you don't check the tire pressures. So that's very important as well. One more thing, also make sure that you have the correct tools for the tire change. A lot of people have what's known as lock nuts on their wheels. There is a lock nut key. You must carry that with you. Otherwise, you'll never remove the lock nuts if you have a puncture.
So you might be stuck somewhere outside of Middelburg and realizing that this wheel is not coming off or not going anywhere. So make sure that you got all the right tools. Very good piece of advice that, because that's the last place you want to find out that you don't have all your ducks in a row. You don't have all your tools in your toolbox. But actually, I mean, you spend day in and day out working on tires specifically at the moment for Porsche South Africa. Those are very specialized tires compared to a lot of the tires that most other cars use.
Well, they are. Every Porsche tire is tested by Porsche from the tire suppliers before it's approved for a particular model. It's then given an N rating, like N1, N2, NAO, specific for that model. Now, some of these tests that Porsche does can last 2 to 3 years. They can go through 3,000 or 4,000 tires. They can test them on 30 to 40,000 kilometers on different road conditions, different climates. In fact, the N comes from the Nürburgring, because that's where they do a lot of the testing as well. So with Porsche, you should always keep the specific tire that they recommended for your particular model.
So if it's good enough for the top-end, high-performance car, it's good enough even for any kind of car to make sure that your tires are always in order. What are some of the things that you commonly come across? What are some of the things that people mostly sort of miss or don't look out for when looking after their tires?
Well, the biggest problem I see every day is people wearing their tires down too far. You've got the tread wear indicator, which is that bar across the grooves. A lot of people are down to that level or past it. And a lot of times we see sidewall cuts and bubbles on the tires from the potholes. We point it out to them and say, yes, I know, it's been there a while, I'll fix it. And they don't. So you've got to respect your tires because that's the only thing that keeps you on the road. And it's your safety, your family's safety, and of course your car is safety. So you've got to make sure your tires are in good condition.
Do you find it's a little bit of a grudge purchase? Do you find people are always a little bit more hesitant to say, oh, I need to replace my tires? They'd rather spend a bit more money on the sunroof or maybe put in some new leather seats or a Bluetooth connectivity rather than getting new tires?
100%. Look, tires have gone up 2 to 3 times this year. So they are expensive. On a set of Porsche tires, it can vary between $25,000 to $30,000, depending on which tire you buy, what model car you've got. Is it a specific sports car, for example? So people would rather, I find this unusual, because people will spend R6,000-R7,000 on a golf putter, but they won't spend R6,000 on a tire. And yet that provides your safety and, in fact, gets you to the golf course in the first place. So yes, it's a big, big grudge purchase, always has been.
So in terms of, checking your tires, making sure it's all in order when you drive, there's also a bit of a routine that you have to go through when your car is standing, because a lot of people might be heading overseas. They might not be traveling in their car. They're leaving their car in the garage at home. Is there something they should be doing when they get back after that car has been standing for 2 weeks or 3 weeks in the same spot, having not moved?
All tires lose pressure, whether you're driving on them or the car's standing still. Tires slowly lose air pressure. You can't avoid it. So the first thing you should do, in fact, if you're going to go on holiday for 2 to 3 weeks or longer, it does help sometimes if you increase the tire pressures so that you don't end up getting flat spots. In addition to that, when you do get back, the first thing you should do is take it to the garage or the tire shop or bring your Porsche into us, and we will correct the tire pressures for you. Because if you've got TPM, which is tire pressure monitoring system, it'll register that all the tire pressures are too low. So bring them in, we can correct that, we reset the tire pressure monitoring system, and then you'll be on the road again.
Oh, fantastic.
But, sorry, if you keep it even longer, some people don't use their cars for a year or so. You know, they buy it, they store it, then they're overseas for a long period, in which case you should increase the tire pressures. You can get what's known as tire shoes, where you can drive your car onto those, which take the shape of the tire and don't allow flat spots. Or, of course, ideally, you should have somebody who tries to move the car backwards and forwards a little bit so they don't remain in the same spot.
I mean, I came across a situation the other day. I was driving here in Sandton, and just 2 or 3 cars behind me was a minibus taxi. And as I'm standing at the traffic light, this taxi obviously was coming down to and hitting the brakes. And suddenly it sounded like 2 gunshots went off. I mean, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Only to discover later on when I was driving back again that this guy was on the side of the road, busy removing what was left of his 2 tires because the 2 tires had blown out. And it was the most unbelievable thing. I mean, apart from being dangerous to his passengers and himself, it was just the craziest thing to have to hear as the rest of the car standing at the traffic light. But, I mean, if he'd been going at an even faster speed or maybe on a highway, I mean, that could have ended horrendously.
Well, it could have. I mean, say a lot of those taxis are overloaded. You ask yourself, is the tires maintained at all, or do they just jump in, load up, and off they go? So that taxi could have rolled. If he was traveling at a speed, that taxi could have rolled. So again, tire pressures is very, very important, checking the tire condition. You must do that. Don't take your tires for granted.
So take that extra time before you head out. Maybe it's a day or 2 days before that you go in and you make sure that all of these things are right. I mean, apart from the other things you're going to do, like fill up your tank and make sure there's water in the car and oil and all of that kind of stuff. What kind of checks should people be looking at when they get their tires ready for a long road trip? I know there's also the question of rotating tires, moving the back tires to the front and the front tires to the back. I mean, what are some of the practices that you've seen and that you think is worth considering?
Okay, well, with Porsche, you can't, and a lot of these new cars, you can't rotate tires anymore because they've got what's staggered fitment, where the front tires and the rear tires are different sizes. Mm. So in the olden days, yes, you could rotate because it's the same size front and rear, but you can't do that with a lot of these cars these days. It's important to check if your wheel alignment is correct. So if your steering wheel is not straight, or if you're driving along and the car starts pulling to one side or the other, it's either an indication of low pressures, or it means your wheel alignment is not correct. If your wheel alignment is not correct, you're going to wear your tires out faster and it increases your fuel consumption. Mm. So it's important to have all that checked before you do the trip.
I think that's some very good advice and some things I didn't even know. I didn't realize. And I think everyone's also quite cognizant of the cost of fuel. So I think if nothing else, if there's nothing else that motivates you to make sure your tires are 100%, you can save yourself a couple of rand on per liter usage of fuel if you make sure your tires are 100%. Actually, at the beginning of this conversation, I asked you who makes the most rubber tires in a year, and I've seen a lot of answers coming through, but I'm not quite sure if they're all spot on. You know who manufactures the most tires in a year. Who is that?
Well, most people think it's a tire company, when in fact, it's a company called Lego. Lego make over 300 million tires a year for their small little toys.
Unbelievable, yeah. And they've got some great stuff. They've got some fantastic models. I know they've also, I think they've got the Carrera 911 that comes as a Lego model as well. So if nothing else, great. If you're not traveling on the roads this year, if you're not traveling anywhere, you can go get yourself a box of Lego, build your own car and drive it around the living room. Ashley Cooper, Group Tire Program Manager at Porsche South Africa, thank you so much for some of your insightful tips and some of your ideas. And if you enjoyed some of the stuff Ashley shared with us, please go make your way to the Porsche South Africa Instagram account, where he shares not only just Porsche information and Porsche interesting tire stuff that you can apply to your time on the road. And I thank you for making the time to be on the Santon Times Hour.
Thank you very much, Alex. Anytime.
Ashley, have a good break and a good start to the new year. We're going to take a quick break now, a bit of music, and then more of the Santon Times Hour as we wrap it up right after this.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good digital audio platforms wherever you are in the world. And in the festive spirit, a couple of festive tunes this hour, and that was Miley Cyrus, Mark Ronson featuring Sean Ono Lennon with Happy Christmas, the War is Over. I didn't even know Miley Cyrus did a version of that, but she did. So there you heard it. Next up, some more festive music and some more festive tunes if you're looking for something to do and to get into the spirit of things as the days rush towards Christmas. Jonathan Rocksmith, he's got another great show lined up with a 19-piece big band conducted by Adam Howard. And he's also got some guest artists Timothy Malloy and Monique Stain joining him for a show called Swingle Bells, a Christmas concert spectacular. Only 8 performances. It runs until the 24th of December. But here to talk about that and so much more is Jonathan Rocksmith. Jonathan, it's good to have you again on the Santon Times Hour.
Thank you so much. When you said the show like that, it actually sounds worth going to, my goodness.
What, Jonathan, is it a question? I mean, if people haven't got their tickets yet, I don't even know if they'll still get some, but they should make a plan. While we chat, they should just log onto the internet and start looking if they can get
exactly.
Tickets.
Exactly, that's the plan.
But Jonathan, what inspired this? I think you have an innate love for Christmas, because I saw some of your publicity photos and I felt like I should print them out and put them on a Christmas card.
My tree's up.
Oh, wow, look
my
at you.
Tree is up, really, I'm not kidding.
Fantastic.
I'm big into Christmas. My family was the best version of itself over Christmas, so I think I'm a bit biased. It was, everybody just sort of got into it. But I'd worked with Adam on a number of my own albums over the years. We've done 11 albums together at his studio, Howard Audio, in Bryanston. And Adam is also a fantastic trumpet player. So I'd worked with him on a number of gigs. And I can't remember what it was. We were doing a corporate and he said, why didn't you do a Christmas album? And I thought, oh, that could be nice, maybe with the Joburg Philharmonic. He said, no, I conduct the Joburg Big Band. So why didn't you, do it with them? So I thought that'd be cool. We collaborated on it, called it Swingle Bells. And that was the beginning of 2020 and everything was looking great. And then we went into lockdown. I was in South Korea at the time with Phantom. I came home on a break and I recorded the album with everybody. And everybody sort of came into the recording session and it was like a reunion because they hadn't seen each other during lockdown. It was the first thing they did post lockdown. So there was a nice energy in the studio and I just thought this could be really cool live. And we decided to plan it for the following year, 2021, because this will all be over by then, right? had it planned, got to 2021. We thought, okay, 2022, I was out of the country again. So we came to 2023. We had a theatrical producer on board who was going to do it with us, but they opted out at the last minute. And Adam said, you know what? I'm going to produce it because I'm not putting it off a third time. And here we are. And Adam has not only, you know, put the album together with me, he's putting his big band where his mouth is. And we're going to do an entire show. And I'm spending the days writing the music now for all the other songs, but we're doing, I think, 12 of the 13 tracks of the album in the show, plus another 10. So it's shaped up to be something that everybody really wants to be part of. And it's Christmas and it's big band. And it turns out Adam was right. People do like a bit of Christmas swing.
Listen, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I almost feel like in Johannesburg, we don't do enough of it. I mean, I see one of the notes was sent through here. One of your favorite memories as a child was going to Cresta for candlelight concerts. And, you know.
Oh, yes. In the car park back then.
Well,
hilarious.
Listen, I think back to some of my child memories or childhood memories of Johannesburg. And I remember you could drive to Joubert Park and they'd have the whole park done up and you could drive through the streets.
Yes, I remember that.
Of the inner city and the lights would be on. I mean, they weren't great lights, but there were lights and there would be some music playing.
Power. Yeah. It was power in those days, so they were great.
Yeah. Now you'd be driving through dark cities, dodging potholes. I mean, it's just not quite the same, is it?
No, but I do think Joburg is at its absolute best over Christmas because a lot of the people are away. So you can actually do whatever you like around Joburg. And so many people over the years, I think, have kept it a secret that they stay in Joburg over Christmas. They pretend they go away, but they don't.
Yeah.
So it kind of works to have something for those people, my kind of people, you know. So it's shaped up really, really nicely. And the great thing about doing it at Monty with the Teatro is the Monte Cassino Christmas market is outside at the same time. So it's kind of like the concerts at Zoo Lake that I remember when I was growing up, where they had the market on the side and you go watch the concert at night and you'd get your candles. We don't do candles because we have smartphones now because that's everybody's candle. So, you know, for a full family who's decided to stay in Joburg and not go to Durban for whatever reason, you'd go to Durban over Christmas. You know, you can actually bring your kids to the Monte Cassino, spend the day at the Christmas market, then come to the show and go home knowing that your car will still be there when you're done. So everything kind of comes together in that sense.
Well, that's always a good Christmas when your car's still there after you've parked it. But
I think so.
I mean, I hazard a guess, you're going to play a lot of the standards, a lot of the favorites in terms of Christmas songs over the decades. Yeah. Are there any new Christmas songs that have come out where people can say, wow, this one is a keeper, it's going to stick around for so much longer? Are there any that you've come across?
I think if you don't put in Mariah Carey, people are upset. So we put that in. But, you know, See a Snowman is quite a fun one. We're sort of playing around with a version of that. Michael Bublé, Grown Up Christmas List is one of the most recent ones. Really, really beautiful song. But aside from that, I think people would be surprised how many Christmas carols they know but don't realize that they're Christmas carols. For instance, Carol of the Bells from Home Alone, like all those movies.
Yeah.
That's not a Christmas carol. That was written for the film.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a really cool mashup of that with something else that Monique and I do together that's really cool. Tim and I do a version of Grown Up Christmas List as a duet for a change. And we both have different links to Christmas. You know, he's part of 67 Blankets for Mandela Day. So his Christmases are spent knitting. My Christmases are spent generally in airports. And we come together. And the lyrics in that song actually tell our stories together, which worked out really, really well. So with all of that said, yes, there are the standards, but they are the standards as you've never heard them before, because I don't just want to do like a Salvation Army thing. Not that there's anything wrong with the Salvation Army, but when you've got saxophones, you really want to get it sexier. So we've made a family-friendly show that has all the energy of like the Rat Pack vibe without the naughtiness. Quite a bit of nice.
Fantastic.
If you like.
Well, I see your favorite Christmas carol, and this also speaks to me because I've always enjoyed sort of renditions of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir when they do sort of these very orchestral choir strong sort of almost Christmas anthems. And yours is "O Come All Ye Faithful," which is a great choice.
You know, the way it just builds, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. You know, the way it builds is just incredible. And, you know, when you sing that with a pianist, it's beautiful. But when you have 19 human beings behind you with instruments that actually make a lot of sound and look great and give the real spirit of Christmas, because I think brass is the sound of Christmas. You just think of trumpets and, you know, and horns and trombones. We've got them. You know, and I think the thing we're all most proud of about this particular show is there's not a single backtrack in sight. It's all 100% live with almost 20 musicians on stage playing it live in front of you. And I'm sorry to say that doesn't happen often. And, you know, in terms of a Christmas tradition, I think in the best scheme of things, this could become a new Joburg Christmas tradition where Christmas swing music is an annual thing to bring your family to.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I think it sounds great. It's going to get people in the right mood. If they aren't in the mood by the 24th of December, then I worry, but they should be in the mood, and this is something that they can do. Swingle Bells on at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. 8 performances only, as I mentioned. We'll put up all the details up on the Sandton Times website, so if you're not quite sure what the details are or where to get them, or you don't have time to write them down now, don't worry, it'll be on there for the rest of the week, and you can find them in your own time. And yeah, Jonathan Rocksmith, great to chat to you again, and wishing you a Merry Christmas, a great festive season, and a good start to the new year, man.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for another Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms wherever you are in the world. And what a great time it is to catch up on those podcasts. If you've got some spare holiday time, driving, sitting on the beach, this is the time to catch up on podcasts. And if you enjoyed this one, please share the show as far and wide as possible. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@santontimes.co.za. You can connect on social media at Sandton Times. Visit the website santontimes.co.za and feel free to get in touch. Maybe not now. Let's circle back in the new year, right? But you can do that and send through your questions, comments, and feedback when you're ready. Thank you to all my guests who made the time to be on the show this week, but also who've made the time to be on the show this year. And what a year it's been. I think we've done about, what, Vincenzo, 50 shows? I must actually count, but it's been a lot. Many, many hours. But it's been so great being with the team at Mix 93.8, and obviously the Sandton Times team who keep everything running. We're going to be taking a bit of a break. This is our last original show for the year, and we're going to be replaying some of the best shows, some of the most popular shows that we've had this year over the festive season. So come back on a Monday night, and if you miss some of those, you'll be able to catch up on that as well. And yeah, taking a bit of a break. We'll probably see you middle of January again. But thank you to everybody. Thank you to the teams. But of course, thank you to you for listening. And let's connect again next year.